Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sports ad free. That's amazon.com/sports ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
West Ham United, we celebrate our victories. We stick together in defeat. I'm proud of our history. West Ham United, more than just a podcast. More than just a podcast.
Good afternoon, good morning, or good evening. This is more than just a podcast.
Podcast. I'm in the living room doing a podcast with you. Get on with it.
I'm in my shed.
There you go. Len and Nigel were here. I don't get to say what you're doing, where are you? They've done it already. They're here. George and John are not because it's International Week, International Break Week, episode 12 of season 10. Let's get down to it. I'll tell you what, there's a bit of an exclusive. What's the time, boys? What's the time as recorded?
Time is 10 to 7.
10 to 7. 6:15. Here's the exclusive. It's on a Monday. It's not going to be exclusive by the time you hear it. But Craig Dawson is going to sign. It's going to be announced in 9 minutes' time at 7 o'clock by the club on the club website. Look, here's a bit to soften the blow. It's not a deal for £2 million. It's not a deal for £3 million. It's a loan deal for one season only. Does that make it any better?
Well, I'll tell you what does make it better. The club that are going to announce it, because I don't know who he is.
You don't know who Craig Dawson is?
No.
He's a centre-back that plays for Watford at the moment, got relegated with Watford. Previously, he played for West Brom and he got relegated with them and he concedes goals. Now that's being a bit unfair. Before he got relegated. Look, let's be honest. He's like fourth choice centre-back. So he's for cover and it's a loan deal for a season. I don't see a problem with that. David Moyes pick. I know he's a sort house player, but I'm told David Moyes pick. I don't see a problem with that. Do you, Nigel?
So he's zoned out there. Who are we talking about? What one?
Craig Dawson.
Nah, listen, if he signs, he puts a shirt on.
What do you mean, if he signs? Oh, he's signing at 7 o'clock. Did you miss the exclusive? Well, In eight minutes' time, the club are going to announce
I'm
he's a
sorry.
Hammer.
He could still fall through.
I don't believe it.
He signed.
Sean, I don't believe it unless X tells us. So I'm on Twitter now. It's refreshing his pages.
He can't be there then. That's what you're saying.
Well, Have a look at his timeline. Have a look at his timeline. I'm sure he's now said it.
Well, no, what he said was, he said announcement, but it could be... It could go wrong, you know. I'm sitting here looking.
Look, just to be clear,
he's not bad because he ain't blocked me yet. So that's always a bonus, isn't it?
He has signed. He's done the transfer pictures. He is holding a shirt, and it will be announced at 7 o'clock. It will not break down. This one has been done.
What terms are we getting him on?
What do you mean, what terms? We're paying his wages, which is about 35 grand a week.
Could be a change in the terms, apparently. That's what I mean. I'm refreshing the page. He's said nothing for 12 minutes. Should we panic?
Do you think he's okay?
What he means is a change in the terms. Otherwise, it's not a permanent deal. It's a loan deal. But there you go. So there's the exclusive that won't be exclusive by the time this is played.
Love you, really, X.
Don't give him a hard time. Anyway, moving on. The Twitter meltdown, and I know you twos don't sort of play in the Twitter, nor do I really anymore.
You don't.
Is a Brentford boy, Benrahma. Saeed Benrahma. I don't really. No, Len, I don't. And, you know, this is a... It's a strange one for me because he's not really a Moyes player. He's a bit, and I use this term very carefully. He's a bit of a fancy Dan, a flair player.
Start all that claret and you nonsense.
I didn't use the F word in front of the fancy Dan. I just said fancy Dan. He's a flair player. He's the kind of player that Manuel Pellegrini would sign, not David Moyes.
Yes.
And, you know, it just seems strange to me, and I wrote about this today, that we would release we would sell Grady Diana, a left winger, right? No nonsense left winger. We would then send out on loan a £34 million left winger in Philippe Anderson. And then we'd spend £30 million on another left winger.
Is he not a right winger?
No, he's a left winger.
Oh, yeah, we don't have them over there, mate. Don't you know that? We threw them out years ago.
And you know, he's good at set pieces, being compared with Payet. He's does a lot of, you know, dribbles and nutmegs and all the kind of things you think. Not very Moyes-y. Now, here's the interesting thing.
Dribbles on, and Moyes-y, mate. You're getting all a bit... Yeah. Right, carry on a bit.
So I don't get it. Look, I understand Moyes wants Josh King. We put in a £13 million bid. That is true. We may go back in. Everton might come back in. We've only got till Friday till the domestic window shuts. But I believe that Mr. Sullivan wants Benrahma because he's 25 and there's resale value there. Originally, we got told by an agent it was £18 million plus £12 million of add-ons. We've now been told by a senior source this evening, it's £25 million plus £5 million of add-ons. So much more in an upfront fee. I know Darren Lewis tonight has said that the deal is due to collapse. Now, this is a funny thing. The deal is never done. So notionally, exactly. Notionally, the clubs have come up with an agreement on the fee, right? £30 million was the evaluation. 25 and 5, Brentford are happy with. The player is on in Holland on international duty with Algeria. He plays tomorrow against Mexico. So he's busy doing his international duty. He's not released till Wednesday. Sky is saying, the deal's done. It's edging close. Everybody's trying to get ahead of the game. And now Darren Lewis in the Mirror, and I know Darren quite well, says deal due to collapse. Well, the senior source is a bit bemused about this and said, just a rumour. It's not, you know, talks are ongoing. The deal is not done, right? Either way, it's not finished. It's not done. Even if it was done, we still haven't agreed personal terms. The player wants considerable, you know, he's on about 12 grand a year at Brentford. I'm not going to talk about his demands to join West Ham. I think that's unhelpful while there's still an active transfer going on. But obviously his agent's trying to get him a good deal. He was with Will Salthouse. He moved to Kante's agent in the last 2 weeks. Will Salthouse is still involved in the deal because agents like to have lots of agents involved. I'm being told tonight, still a big chance. They're still confident they can land him. Don't believe the meltdown, the deal has collapsed. It was never there to collapse in the first place. And talks are ongoing. People were premature with their announcement of the deal was already done. And we will see. I'm not saying he'll be our player by Friday. I'm not saying the deal collapsed. A deal can't collapse if a deal is not there already. We still could go back for Josh King. Here's the interesting thing. We could go in for Josh King as well. So we could end up with Dawson on loan, Benrahma, and Josh King. by Friday. I'm just saying what I've been told this evening by a senior source.
Have they been raiding a GoFundMe page then?
I'm just saying. I can't reveal the senior source.
Could I reveal the senior source, Sean?
No, you can't. You can't. Then.
Is it him? That's usually the senior source, isn't it? I don't know who the senior source is.
Oh, well, there you go. Yeah, HP. I'm more of an HP man. So that's where we are. Look, we've been... There has been a sort of thing saying, look, if we had to wait, I think he's going to look at the centre-back again in January. I know we're linked with this Denmark centre-back who's 20 years old that cost a few million quid that was in Brazil. I think Dawson is a stopgap, just as cover. I think centre-backs are doing quite well at the moment, you know. I can't think, you can't see Dawson's going to walk straight into the team. The new formation seems to work. Do you know what? It doesn't bother me either way whether we sell Barama or not. I don't know about you. What do you think, Len?
Well, just as I'm about to sneeze, what do I think? You saw me go on mute then, didn't you? You thought you'd ask.
Yeah, I did.
I never thought we'd get him because I never thought we're talking about Benrahma, right?
Mm.
He was a Moyes type of player because I've asked, I've got a customer who's a Brentford fan. I've got a few actually who are Brentford fans. They say he's got a lot of flair. I'm not teaching anyone anything new here, but he's got a lot of flair, hasn't got a high work rate, and they described him as a flat track bully, brilliant against a team that's not as good as us, Brentford, I mean, but didn't really achieve anything in the big games. So how's that going to look in the Premier League? I don't know. Josh King sounds like the man, so much a Moyes man, adaptable, hard-working. And listen, whoever we sign, we've got to give them a chance. I'm saying that includes Moyes as well, I guess. But I'm a bit concerned. But
okay,
excited Nigel? For another signing.
Good, Nigel.
Well, not really.
Well, apparently. Yeah, we looked at Dawson back in 2018 with Yerry Mina, Yannick Vestergaard, Adil Rami and Ayman Adebayor. I mean, we signed all of them, didn't we?
Didn't
they? Dear, oh dear.
They all done well.
Still, you know, I'm just...
Oh, by the way, the club have now announced, just to confirm, because I know you wouldn't believe it, and hopefully X has tweeted it too, West Ham United are pleased to announce the signing of versatile defender Craig Dawson on a season-long loan from Watford.
No video.
Will you believe it now?
No Dawson's Creek video.
No, but there is one of him with some very nice teeth doing the crossed hammers, which
I'll have a look at that.
His teeth are doing the crossed hammers? Blimey.
No, he's just got very nice...
If he's that talented, his teeth can do the crossed hammers. I think we've signed a winner.
Yeah, there
you go. Look, as I said, if the bloke pulls a shirt on, he'll get my support.
Cool, so that's
and
right.
I hope that's what the fans will do. And ignore all this Twitter nonsense because it's all flim flam until we get to play a game. We laugh at it, you know. It keeps some of us amused. You know, sometimes I like to bait them a bit and stir the pot. You know, and. Sometimes people don't get what I'm saying, and that's their problem. Yeah, that ain't my problem.
So you haven't talked. Getting back to Benrahma and King.
Yeah. What?
Well, what's your thoughts?
Well, my thought is, if I'm looking at the two, I would prefer Benrahma.
Okay.
Because he looks more of an exciting player. Who's more likely to bring entertainment to the game? I go football to be entertained.
Yeah, yeah, you have said that before. To be fair,
that's what I'm saying. You know, I'm not a flip.
You like goals, didn't you?
Yeah, goals are fun, as I keep telling people. If we lose 5-4, I've had far better time than watching us win 1-0. I know some people may find that strange, but for me, it ain't about the result. I want to watch a good, entertaining game of football, and with that, I want West Ham to be entertaining.
Nigel, wouldn't you rather Moyes have the player he wants, though? I know what you're saying about Benrahma. This is how I feel. I think he'd be a good player to watch. He's going to entertain us if the team's playing okay.
This is the thing. There is two facets to this, isn't there? There's me looking at it that if I'm going to choose between them two, I'd want Benrahma.
Now, as a punter.
As a punter. Now, when you're looking at it from a club point of view, if the manager is building a team and he wants it in a certain way, and he has identified the player to slot in, then naturally you would assume that that is the player that the owners would go and get and not one of their own choice. But as with some of the signings, and even Dawson today and the signing of Koufal, when we did the finance thing, and we've done it for years and years, and I've complained about this for years, going back to when we signed Zabaleta, Joe Hart, and all these other players that were supposed to be wonderful, even Arnautovic, that when you're signing players 28, 29, 30, what by doing that for years and years has got us into the mess that we're in now, where we're paying out £80 million of players but only getting £15 million back because no one wants to buy us. A club like West Ham will only succeed by using the transfer market wisely. So therefore, for me, while Moyes may want Josh King, it ain't a wise signing because it's another short-termism. The one thing I've said recently, I say to people, is look at this team now and imagine what it'll look like in 5 years' time. You can strike a line, ignoring, and I'm talking about age-wise. So,
who are you talking about? You've lost me. Are you talking about Dawson? Are you talking about Benrahma, who's 25?
No, so Benrahma, you would think, in 5 years' time, would be at this club. If you signed Josh King at the age of 29, in 5 years' time, is he going to be at this club? Yeah? No, he's not. So, the problem we got is that we keep buying players 28, 29 who have only got a 2 or 3 year shelf life. It's got to stop at some point.
That is true.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's what I'm saying.
So you want,
look at it.
You want goals.
Well, what I'm saying is, again, back to the thing, look at this team now. Answer me. 5 years' time. Do you see Fabianski in goal?
No.
Do you see Randolph in goal?
No.
Right, there's two. Yeah.
Nathan Trott ain't going to get a go, so he won't be in goal either.
Creswell, Ogbonna, Balbuena?
No.
You might have Masuaku. Yeah.
No ball be there.
Well,
I'm joking.
No, but there's one, Noble, yeah? You'll keep four nows, mate, age-wise, Rice age-wise. Suchek will be approaching 30. Bowen you'll get. Haller? No. Antonio? No. So we've got to keep rebuilding this team.
Yeah.
And that's what I'm saying. She's at some point, I get what we're saying is we want Moyes to have the player he wants. But at some point, if he's going to manage this club and he wants to be in 5 years' time, he's got to be told, I'm sorry, no.
Interesting.
So, I don't think there's a lot of other transfer news. I think this is the only deals we're looking at with only a few days left. But guess what? Because I know you love this. The whole thing starts again in 10 weeks' time. Literally, there's 10 weeks
after Friday. That's why I don't get the panic as well.
And it all starts again in January the 1st. So everybody's going, oh, my God. Yeah, the whole thing starts all over again. So guess what? More transfer stories, because I know you love them, Lynn.
Yeah, but
I
Sean,
know you love them.
Sean, there is a difference, yeah? You say that. Where are they going to get the money from?
They have a whip band. GoFundMe.
Well, funny enough, that's a great link. They
it
get
is
it
a great link,
the
14, isn't it? There you go.
All the £14.95 fees they pay for pay-per-view. Because this week, our next talking point is, obviously, The Premier League came out and said that they had decided to show games that are not picks. Would they be pay-per-view? There'd be $14.95, and Sky and BT would not make a penny. So here's my inside scoop. I say an inside scoop. Actually, I got it from Kieran Maguire, Price of Football. Good podcast, by the way. Listen to his podcast if you get a moment. He talks about football finance. Anyway, and I know this. I've had this verified from other people. So the day before the Premier League meeting, so there's often Premier League meetings every month. Chairman or chief executives or vice chairman get called. Obviously, at the moment, it's virtual. Anyway, they get told the night before, right, we're going to vote on, because the government was saying this is not fair. Fans can't see all the games and still can't get to obviously people in the stadium. So they're worried, the Premier League, with the broadcast deals. And the broadcasters are worried that if they dilute their product too much, all the people paying for Sky and BT, their product will be devalued. So they've paid billions for a product, and suddenly, if they start giving it away for free to season ticket holders or cheaper, it devalues their product, and people might start stopping paying their subscribers. So what the Premier League chairman were told, here's your choice. You either allow everybody to watch the games pay-per-view, but we set the price. You can't set the price. $14.95, set by Sky and BT. Or we don't show any games. Your choice, one or the other. 19 clubs voted in favour of that deal. One club voted against that deal. That was Leicester City. Now, whether right or wrong, I take a more pragmatic... I know there's been a great big meltdown, and I won't say it's not a PR disaster. But it gives, in my view, it gives a supporter choice. Number one, the Sky and BT people who pay, not me, but pay their subscription, have got exactly what they had before, i.e. they paid for a certain number of games, they're going to get those same number of games, and they still have access to them. And they're going to be the best games, usually, because Sky and BT are not stupid. They pick the best games. Secondly, season ticket holders, including West Ham ones, including yourself, myself and Len, are getting our full refund. In fact, in my case and your case, I'm sure you're getting 10% back, not Len, because he took the option free. But we're getting our refunds. It's not like we're not getting our refunds on season ticket. If we decide to spend that money paying per each match, $14.95, far less than we paid already, by the way, that's up to us. So I don't see season ticket holders can demand something for free of something they never paid for. In our case, we're getting 10% profit back. And then you've got the ordinary punters who say, this is not fair. If I watch all the games, I'm going to pay, hundreds of pounds. Well, that's a choice, isn't it? And, you know, like Kieran Maguire said, and he's right, if they've got the pricing wrong, as they did with Napster, if you remember Napster in the pirate days of music, you know, everybody was pirating music and using Napster. This is before Spotify or iTunes. In the end, people just go the pirate route and they go another means. And not that I'm condoning this, but if you need any streams, then our friend Woody would help you. Just contact us at the Facebook page. But anyway, I don't see the massive meltdown, if I'm honest with you. Nigel, I know you've got a view on this. I don't know if you agree with me or disagree with me.
Well, yeah, funny enough, I was writing about it from West Ham till I buy article on Thursday. So I like to prepare. I do my weekly diary now. So I was writing it up while it's still fresh in my mind. And this is my outtake on it. A lot of people, as you said, complained, oh, we're paying twice, or season ticket holders should get it for free. But the club are giving us our money back. Now, when we signed up for a season ticket and I gave 100% of my money, it was under the impression that if the game wasn't played 30 days later, they would give me my money back. Now, but I've now accepted the club cash thing, with all that entails, but I knew what I was signing up for, as did every other season ticket holder.
Correct.
Now, so if they show a West Ham game on pay-per-view and I paid a $14.95, I'm not paying for the game twice. Secondly, it's roughly the same price as what I pay per game. I think I'm up to £16 a game now. So that's £15 a game. Yeah. So it's a bit cheaper than going to the stadium, but without the hassle of the stadium. But with the hassle going to the stadium, obviously I would go. But at this moment in time, no fans are allowed. So paying $14.95, the same price I would pay, money going to the club, I'm happy to do that. Then we move on to streaming and the way it's run. Oh, it should be a fiver. It should be a tenner. There's a bigger picture here. And it's called the EFL. Now, the EFL are running a streaming service for the 72 football clubs, of which it's £10 to watch any of their games. So on a Saturday afternoon at 3 o'clock, you can go onto this EFL website, choose Leighton Orient against Bolton, yeah, pay your £10 and watch the game. And that money goes to help the clubs. Now, if the Premier League rocked up and charged a tenner or a fiver per game, that would detract, yeah, from what the EFL were trying to do there.
Correct.
Straight away. Plus, if we're going to treat the Premier League like it's a better business and it's a more wanted product, let's say, naturally, therefore, they would have to charge a premium for that. So therefore, they can't charge a tenner the same as the EFL. It would have to be more. So therefore, they go $14.95. They've chosen for that. I see what they're doing there. The next step is, as well, they've got to protect the future. The future of football on TV is going to be pay-per-view streaming.
Yeah.
Now, if they go down a £5 or £10 route now, because it's COVID, when all this is over and in 4 years' time they go down and they charge, you know, 15 quid a game or whatever, people will go, hold up a minute. You only charged us a fiver back then. You're robbing us. You're doing this. You're doing that. So they have to protect that future stream as well for when the Sky and BT deals end. Add to the fact that all the money goes to the club. I don't know quite how that bit works, I must admit. Because when you sign up for it, do you have to say you're a West Ham fan, or does it just all the money go to the home team? Or is there a definitive split? I don't know. I've not seen that. But
sorry, I was coughing there. You're going to have to say that bit again.
What I'm saying, how do they work out who gets the money? Because they're saying the money goes to the club, but is my 15 quid, if West Ham play away to Man City and I buy the game, does the
50-50 is my understanding.
50-50. Oh, that's so a fair deal.
It's not home and away. 50-50 for all games.
That's great. That's great, because there are more Man United fans out there than there are Sheffield United fans. So if Man United play Sheffield United on pay-per-view, Sheffield United are going to be quids in. And I would urge as many fans as possible, in the EFL, I would. If you're a supporter of an EFL club and you want to do it, go and watch them and pay the money, the £10. With the Premier League, it's horses for courses. Now, also, what you've also got is, because this was a game that wasn't going to be shown, if you don't want to pay for it, you've still got the highlights package on Sky or Match of the Day to view the game the way you would have done anyway. This is you paying a premium price. Yeah, but we're talking about the 14. This is you paying a premium price to watch the game as it's played. You've still got all the previous options you had. For me, it's a bit of a false outrage. I think the journalists that are jumping on the bandwagon, you know, as I pointed out, you know, for years, football fans, I thought journalists are some scum of the earth. All of a sudden, every football journalist in the world seems to be jumping on every fan bandwagon going to try and carry favour with them. And I find it very strange. Yeah. And the way they write it up as well, they stoke the rage and the outrage from the fans at this, when actually, when you look at it in the cold light of day, so Stelios, just so you're listening, I've educated you now why you was wrong and why actually the $14.95, we've got a freedom of choice in this country. If you don't like it...
Was he outraged then? Of course he did. A Sunday night outrage. And Stelios, outrage.
I told him. I'll educate... You know, he was saying, well, come and tell me. I said, I'll educate you on Monday night still.
Yeah.
That is why, you know, I don't object or I don't... I can see why. Personally, I think £10 would have been fine. But it then opened the door to EFL clubs.
What I said... BT and Sky said it was non-negotiable. We're already paying, Premier League clubs already paying $330 million in penalties over the next 2 years due to missed
the problems last season.
Clauses last season. Even though they showed all the games, they still fined.
And they got more games.
So you know, there's being no doubt who controls the Premier League. The broadcasters do.
Oh, right, yeah. At the moment.
You know?
That may change.
At the moment,
The one thing that I found funny was, is there was a, when the day this broke, there was two tweets, and the algorithm on Twitter, it was like lining up with the planets. The tweet at the top was a West Ham fan screaming outrage, pay them the effing money, about Josh King wanting $90,000, double his wages, and West Ham were like balking on it. And he was screaming, just pay them the money. And the tweet underneath was then someone complaining about the $14.95 charge. And I think people failed to realise when I tweeted it out the correlation between the two. Because you got one bloke outraged at $14.95, one bloke outraged that we're possibly balking at Josh King, and the outrage was at the clubs, and nobody was outraged at Josh King.
Remind me to tell you about something about Josh King. Yeah,
we're all in it together, aren't we? We're all in it together.
Yeah,
professional footballers took a 20% set aside. I'm guessing they've had all that 20% back now.
Of course they have. And no, it's all been back.
So they've been fully paid, and everybody and all this. Don't buy into this. We're all in it together, people.
Yeah.
It's clubs need money because of the wages. Yeah. And it's the wages going to
I think
to
a
footballers.
Lot of people will. There's one way to do this, and I heard this on someone say this, so it's not mine. You know, there's an easy way to deal with this without having petitions and outrage. Don't buy it.
Yeah.
Right? That's it's right. Choice. Don't buy it. If you feel so bad about it, don't pay it, right?
I don't.
Don't pay it. Because it's a game you wouldn't have seen. If you're a person who don't use illegal streams, it's a game you wouldn't have seen anyway unless you went to it.
Do you know who they're targeting? Do you know who this is targeted at for me?
The Chinese?
No, this is targeted. The Chinese. I had one tonight.
Donald Trump?
No, it's targeted at the likes of you, me, and Len. The season ticket holders that cannot see the game. Because we will want to be there at the game, see the whole game. Yeah. But we pay, you know, well, I don't. I pay, I'm banned five, but you will pay £25, £30 a game.
£30 a game.
Right. You see, it's the same game for half price and you ain't got to travel there.
Right. Listen, well, you've both made actually really good points that I didn't consider really. But the question that I've just answered, the addicts, is something. Let me tell you what I feel about it. I hadn't thought with you your way, and to be honest, you have made some good points. But it's just the habit of all this.
Mm-hmm.
It's in the last 20 years, I've worked for advertising agencies doing visuals. Selling beer, usually to football fans, come when it comes to footballing events, beer, pies, this, that, and the other. The man on the street, they'll get me in there. You understand these people, I don't. Shove us away, and that's fine. And what we used to do, listen, we used to take the punters' money. I'm not, you've bought loads and loads and loads and loads of beer that I've helped advertise, and I'm no different to the Premier League or whoever, taking people's money. But what we did, we didn't take the fans for wankers, and we made them feel better, and we didn't relentlessly take. Now, I'm going to assume that although you've made a really good argument about this $14.95, I don't think of how that affects the footballing pyramid. So you did come up with a good point. But I think the $14.95 comes from information they'll get. How much do we know that the fans going to pay based on that calculation? We always used to have this, football's expensive. And then someone used to come back and say, oh, but but how much does it cost to go to the Palladium, to the theatre or something like that? Well, that all that did is make people put the theatre up. And there's this relentless tariff of charging the football fan while you kick him in the bollocks. I made a little short list here. Sky, BBC, BT, all football clubs, the Premier League, even all the media talk sport. You're relentlessly talking to the fan like a fault with your hand out. And what, although what you've said is really good points, this is a relentless torrent of gimme, 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 gimme. In a sport that's giving the fan less and less. And now we're at this juncture where finally we can almost find an excuse for this pay-per-view to put it in. And there's too many pigs eating at the trough. And I really don't like seeing this. And I think that's why the journalists, as you say, and the media people say, no, this is not on, because they're smothered in it. They hear... They know all what's going on, and they don't think like Nigel was a fan stroke addict, that what he come out and says and making sense of it. You vote with your feet. I won't be paying for it, but someone will, and that's why they do it, and it will carry on and carry on. All I'm saying, I know nothing's going to change. Just don't disrespect the fan. Just give the fan... Just be start being nice to them, because you're not.
The thing with the journalists is that, like, I've seen it, and people pick up on it. Oh, we're feeding agents and we're feeding this and that. No one ever blames the players. Yet they.
No, you're right. Right?
And
no,
this,
I know.
And this
that's
is the
true.
Thing, and that's why it was quite funny that the Twitter algorithm threw up that one bloke moaning about us not paying Josh King, the 90 grand a week he wants to double his wages, when if Bournemouth hadn't been relegated, he would have been happy to pay for 45 grand a week still at Bournemouth.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's because he's getting a transfer, you know, and we've got to bung his agent a load of money as well. People don't pick up on what the player wants. He wants to double his wages to do what he did last season. Yeah, in this
Which
time.
Wasn't good enough.
No, yeah, that's true as well, yeah. He was in a relegated team and he didn't score enough goals. So there's that. And yet nobody puts outrage on him. No journalist writes a story, what a player's doing. And rightly so, we can praise the likes of Marcus Rashford and whatever, because these are footballers, highly paid, that are making a difference. But they are very few. Amongst a lot of them.
But it's a £1 billion business, and let's not forget that. We like to think it's a tribal sport and people are following it. Here's my silly comment of the week. You know, you could say the same addiction about coffee and drugs and cigarettes
that is a
and
silly
alcohol.
Comment.
Right? I know you're going to say that. But, you know, we still sell cigarettes at £20 a pack or whatever they do and don't care if people smoke themselves to death while we tax them to death, right? We still
so
sell
we
alcohol.
Don't learn from
when
that
people
mistake. We carry
no,
on.
No, we
that's
don't. No, we drink. People drink their livers to death because they're alcoholics, and we still advertise the alcohol. I just think football is another addiction, like anything else, and it's a matter of choice. There's some people that will, and gambling. Look, I've got a big problem about gambling, and the way that gambling is connected to our sport, and some people have a real bad problem with that. I think. Some people are addicted and will spend more than they've got. That's down to them. But
listen,
I still say it's choice.
Do you know what
the real problem? Let me just finish. The real problem is this is a £1 billion business being run as a company, a massive corporation, and we're just consumers at the end of the day. To Premier League, not talking about West Ham, we're just consumers, and they have lost so much money, £80 million a week the Premier League are losing. And this is the bit where I am and I suddenly agree with Len. The obscene bit, not the players, the obscene bit is while pleading poverty, and our own owners being one of them, while pleading poverty, while Spurs borrowing £175 million from the Bank of England, the Premier League football clubs collectively spent over £1 billion on transfers in the last transfer window. While laying off Gunnosaurus, a bloke who I forget his name, who'd worked for the club for 27 years on 30 grand a week.
Norwegian, isn't he?
Laying off 55 other staff at Arsenal, but they signed a £45 million player. That is the obscenity of football, that the Premier League carried on and spent £1 billion while pleading poverty and saying we're losing £18 million a month and we want our punters now to start paying pay-per-view to get us out of shit because we've lost all this revenue. That's the reality of it.
Yeah, but that's my silly again, but then I'll point you to the tweet where the man screaming on Twitter, pay the money. Yeah, because the fans have pressurised our board to sign players, have they not? So that could be magnified across the and it ain't. I'm not saying actually
we spent the least. To be fair, though, we were -7 million. Oh, yeah, but was the bottom of the table.
The fans in that case there by putting that pressure on the club. Those fans are actually the same fans that complain about that. They complain about what you just said about that they've spent 1.2 billion. That they've a Gunnosaurus, has been dismissed. I take it Amored hasn't.
I don't think he has, no.
I mean,
no. Brady is, you probably read.
If it was up to
Brady
me.
Brady still wants supporters and said, on the weekend, she said, it's unfair how people can go to the cinema and not go to
Has she not seen what's happening at
Cineworld? People go to their local cinema, don't they? They don't go off across the country. They go
Do you know
cinema.
What?
This is
do you
the
know
thing,
what? In the EFL... In the EFL, they're doing this, and I could see this happening in the Premier League. At the moment, what they're doing is they're inviting corporate people in for a meal. That's allowed. And shutting the blinds, but you can serve a meal while the game's going on and watch it on TV while you're in the ground.
But non-league clubs have been doing that. We could do that at Averley. In fact, Averley didn't even have to shut the blinds. They could open the bar. Yeah. What the fans were not allowed to do was step through the glass doors.
Yeah.
So they could stand at the glass doors and watch the game because the bar was open because it was like a pub there and they had Premier League games showing on the TV while hopefully were playing a friendly outside.
Yeah. Anyway, I want to move on. Your friend and my friend, David Sullivan, made a personal donation, a five-figure donation to the Newham Foodbacks. Look, we know John. Very well on this podcast, and Nigel and myself know him. You know him, don't you, Lynn?
Yeah,
you met John?
Yeah, I feel like I have because I've drawn him, and I talked to him over the internet. I don't think I have met him.
So he spoke to me this morning and said, "Look, I've got a story for you," and I thought it was a really good thing. He's pledged a five-figure donation to buy a delivery van for Newham Food Banks.
I've seen the pictures.
Yeah, no, I've got the picture on Clarence Hugh today. And also given enough money to stockpile food for the winter. And John was also telling me last week how they've got this deal with McVitie's. So they've been giving out Jaffa cakes and clothing and pizzas as well. So McVitie's I just wanted to give that a plug.
Huh? McVitie's pizzas.
Well, I don't know, actually. I didn't ask that question. I know there's a tie in with
McVitie's.
Well, I don't know. You don't know. They might diversify.
It's a United Foods brand, I believe, what you're talking about. I used to do the McVitie's. I've done a little cat advert.
Yeah. So what you're saying, Sean?
So I'm saying well done. Well done, David Sullivan. Well done, John Rotonski. And well done, Newham Food Banks. Give them a bit of a pat on the back. And if you've got any spare donations or spare money, think of Newham Food Bank this winter to put a donation so they can get through these hard COVID times. That's all I'm just really giving him a plug, really. Because I know John listens. I don't know if David.
What van is it? But...
It's a Peugeot. I'll do it.
Yeah, you're right.
It is. I know it is. He sent me the pictures.
Yeah, I've got the picture. Yeah, it's a Peugeot. Yeah, like a transit van.
I've got more than one.
Oh, I've only got one.
Ah, we'll see. There you go. They've got a website coming soon.
Maybe I'll...
Oh, did you not know that, Sean?
No.
Well, you know, cheers, John. Had exchange texts with Johnny Boy.
Oh, good. Yeah, JR, you know.
Today. So, yeah, no, he's got a website coming soon. Obviously, it's hard when you get nice stories about Sullivan, because perhaps it does show there is a heart beating in there. And the thing I like is that it's John's having to come out and say it, that they're not doing self promotion, that it's not the club announcing it, it's he's doing this personally. And you know, I don't want to like praise him too much because you might think I like him, but hey ho, you know,
do like him.
Oh, Dave Sullivan,
John.
Oh, no.
David Sullivan.
I'm talking about Dave Sullivan. Of course, I like David John Sullivan. Tomsky. So
there was a time you didn't.
What, like David Sullivan or John Tomsky? No. I think
you're throwing you under the bus.
No, what Sean does there, he misunderstands this. John well knows. Yeah, we had personal differences. Yeah, of opinion while at Worcester. Nothing personal. Yeah, never disliked the man. Yeah,
they were the days. They were the days, weren't they? Look back then with yeah. Fun.
Listen,
fun times.
John knows. I stand by everything I said. I believe I was right. Yeah. In opposing Wissa running the food bank, and luckily, John done the right thing in still setting it up and running it himself without the interference of Wissa. Because I think if it had Wissa's interference, it'd be a shit fest. So,
therefore,
I'm over the moon, and John knows this. I'd do anything I can to help them.
Did Sullivan.
I just need my van back and I might be able to do some deliveries because my van's been in dry dock for 2 weeks now. So, and the
well,
bill.
If you are Sullivan nice, you get your Peugeot and you say to you, Nigel,
excuse me,
I bought you a foreign fancy van.
Yeah. Guess what van I drive?
A fancy, I love that. I see what you've done there.
Yeah.
I get it there. Well done.
Do you know what van I drive?
Book us gold.
What
do you think?
Ford
Transit.
Dagenham Motors.
Yeah, Dagenham Transit.
Oh, you people know me so badly. Volkswagen.
I was going to say that. Is it one of them
Germans? Oh.
Mate, only ever have a Volkswagen van.
Okay. I was going to say a Volkswagen.
Yeah, Caddy I got.
Anyway, quick couple of injury updates, and then we'll move on to question time. Arthur Masuaku withdrew from the DR Congo team. Apparently, he had a little tweak in training on his knee, and apparently withdrew himself. He didn't want to risk his club playing against Spurs, so he withdrew himself and travelled back
little
to Africa.
Little test for you, Sean. What does the DR stand for?
Democratic Republic.
Oh, go on.
Of
well
Congo.
Yeah.
So he's fine.
They drink on bongo, dear.
I don't know. He's fine to play against Spurs. By the way, Spurs, the return of Gareth Bale makes his, I don't know if it's a debut, or his return anyway.
Second
day. When's the last time, what happened the last time Gareth Bale played against West Ham?
He scored.
If you remember.
He scored right in the top corner last minute.
Yeah.
Yeah, he did. Yeah, right. You're right.
Heartbreaking,
yeah.
Wasn't it?
7 years ago, yeah, yeah. They won 3-2, if you remember. Yeah. He scored 2 goals that day. And then our Czech friends, Sufal and Suchek, both were involved. I don't know if you've heard this. I don't know how international football could continue. So 3 players tested positive in the Czech Republic camp. 16 were inconclusive and were held back to be retested. And only 11 players, no, 9 players could carry on. Luckily, Sufal and Suchek were 2 of the players that could continue. And I think they played, didn't they? Wasn't it last night? Yeah, I think so. I just don't get it. And I'm going to open it up to you too. How can international football, especially friendlies, continue when we keep on, they can flying all around this club with what's going on with
know.
These outbreaks and everything else. It just seems balmy.
It is balmy. I don't get it. It's greedy. Go back to my previous point about everything. I said, you're right. It's balmy. But this is what happens. It overtakes logic. Why would, in this crisis, why would you fly around the world? And you see what I mean? It's just crackers. Absolute crackers. And the honest answer is, because people have paid for advertising for the event, even though there's no one there. It's got to stop now.
Advertising. Advertising. Root of all evil, then. Nigel, before we move on.
They both played. They beat Israel 2-1.
Oh, well done. So they're both available. No need to self-isolate. In fact, Soufal came out and actually Kufal. Said... Soufal. Actually said... don't believe Checkboy or something is this guy on Twitter said that he was inconclusive or positive, and he actually came out and said, don't believe reports on social media, I'm fine. Talking that, also Arthur Masuaku started bigging up transfer.
He did, didn't he?
Yeah, who's running his PR? Either he did it himself, it was 11:45, either he maybe had a bevy or two, or his PR decided to have a little bit of fun. Or he got hacked. I don't know.
No, he's just a fucking idiot. I think you find the answer.
Really? Oh, don't say that about Arthur.
We can't say shedheads. How's he going to listen? He's not. He's as bright as a glowworm's armpit.
Actually, I had an interview with him the other day, and he came across quite well, even though the interviewer at the end did ask him about shedheads. And it was quite funny.
Oh, yeah, I remember now. I've just got you with shedheads.
Yeah.
Anyway.
He was describing you, Sean, to be fair.
Yeah. Yeah. We're at 15 minutes. Is there anything you guys want to discuss before we move on to the next stage?
I haven't really been up with the news. I was hoping to get stuff from you, really, Sean.
Yeah, I don't...
So I'm all right.
No, I mean,
if we miss anything, it'll be in questions, won't it?
That's what I'm saying. I think in Facebook, the only thing we haven't covered really is the Premier League takeover by the Americans of Man United and Liverpool. We've not covered any of the buyers. Have they produced the money yet? Or we've not covered about the Americans.
This is another thing. I don't know anything about this because everyone's tweeting this Times article. It's behind a fucking paywall. How much money do you want from us?
Let me give you a 5-second. Right. First of all, takeover bids.
You only do one thing in 5 seconds. Let's put this right.
Secret agent came up with some bollocks. I've written an article saying it's bollocks. Premature to say anything. Nothing's going to happen before the end of the year. There's no price agreed. It's rubbish, right? I'm not saying that no one will take over in the future. And I think, Nigel, yourself, you tweeted a couple of interesting pictures yourself out, didn't you, on Twitter? Or possible. Are those people you tweeted out?
It was old Johnny Jacobs, Cream Crackers, who runs Delaware North, if I'm right. Am I right?
Oh, yeah, you are right. Funny enough. Thank you very much. Yeah.
There you go. I did my research. And
who else was the other two?
There was the other bloke, wasn't there? His picture, whose name escapes me. I'm sure I can find it.
It's your story. I'm sure you must know.
Yeah, I'm sure I must know. It was definitely, yes. Well, wouldn't you say it's my story, Sean? I mean, let's face it.
Don't reveal your source.
I'm not.
Don't reveal your
source.
Just saying, whatever you do, don't reveal your source.
I'm not an ITK. I openly admit. Someone told me some news. And I thought I would just highlight it. That's all I did, Sean. You know?
Okay.
Someone tells me something, and I just highlighted it. I did caveat it with the words false dawn. People don't know what that means. Basically, it means I think it's a load of bollocks, but I think I'll have a bit of fun. I don't know why I didn't quite expect it to go like that. Perhaps you stirred the pot with your eyes, you pest.
Oh, yeah. Oh, did I? Did I?
That stirred the pot because then it was like we were working together. You know, it was almost like tag team there, you know?
Yeah. Who'd have one of them that? Was Tripp Smith, yeah?
Well, oh, yeah. I forgot about old Tripp.
Steve Cohen is the person you Steve were thinking about.
Cohen, that's
oh,
him.
Yeah.
That's him. My Jacob, mate Steve. Yeah.
Jeremy Jacobs.
JJ to his mates.
Tripp Smith and Steve Cohen. Look, as I've said, I've written an article. I don't think there's anything. These things take a long time. There's nothing in the offering. There's no NDAs. There's nothing going to happen by the end of this calendar year. I'll eat my hat. Just going quickly on the Telegraph. So quickly for Len, the Telegraph printed a story saying the Americans, in the form of the owners of Liverpool and Man United, want to create a new Premier League breakaway league of 18 clubs, including West Ham, that would not play in the EFL Cup, that would obviously have far less games and would give a lot more money to the EFL. Now, the Premier League quickly came out and wrote a statement saying, this is nothing to do with us. We completely are against this. And interestingly, and this is the interesting story, West Ham, there is a story tucked away yesterday by the BBC claiming or quoting a club source. Now, that doesn't happen very often, not in that as many words that are quoted by the BBC. So I think you should read that because it's a little bit strange. But obviously someone from the club is briefing the BBC that West Ham are completely and utterly against this shake-up of the Premier League. Basically, we get less money, Len. We get less money. 18 clubs, less games. It's only good for the top six who play in Europe, right?
Yeah, it gives them more time. I mean, you said it all with not playing in the EFL Cup or the League Cup.
Yeah, and playing less games, yeah?
Yeah.
Okay. I suppose it's time for... Yeah. It's Twitter, Facebook, Twitter question, Twitter question, Facebook time, where you, the eight listeners, get to ask Nigel or Len questions of fact or fiction that Nigel may or may not answer in derogatory voices or not.
Derogatory voices. Oh, bloody cheek. Anyway, so earlier today, I said no Hammers game this week as this is a national break. And you know what that means. Do you know what that means?
3 hour podcast?
Yep. A 3 hour special where we don't discuss any actual football games. Only joking, I said. No booches, just the whetstone, CTL and myself, laughing at Sean's new haircut that makes him look like Fido Dido. There you go, off to advertise 7-Up, Sean.
Quite long enough for that.
I know, but, you know, once give it a week, you know, it'll be up there, won't it?
Can I just point out, right?
Yeah.
You've mentioned Fido Dido and Umbungo, two animated characters to sell products. So if you're out there and you think to yourself, wow, they work, don't they? Well, they bloody will do. And you know where they come. As you were, Nigel.
Yeah, but can I just point out the reason, like, I remember Umbongo ain't so much for the animation, it's because of the song, like Umbongo, yeah, Umbongo, the Jinky Binda Congo.
I that as well.
You know?
I wrote a musical, you know.
Yes. What?
Can I mention something else at the barbers that happened today? It's not a Turkish barbers podcast, but it's quite intriguing. So I went to get my hair cut, as you know, because I sent you a picture.
Yeah.
And he says, do you want your ears done? I said, what do you mean? He said, do you want them waxed? So I went, I don't know what that is. Anyway, he pours this black wax on top of my ears and inside my ears with a stick. Yeah?
Pulls the ear out, does it?
And then he says, do you want your nose done as well? I went, is it painful? He said, no. And then he gets a load of wax and shoves it up both nostrils as well. So... seriously, I kid you not.
Is this a new form of sack crack and back? Have they changed it?
No. Seriously, it's a Turkish barber's thing. And then he pulls out this wax that's all over my ears and inside my ears and like hair on wax and everything comes out, and he does the same to my nostrils.
Well, you got wax up your nostrils.
I tell you what, I can breathe a lot better now, so I recommend it. Yeah.
What if it grows back more, though? You know,
it also pulls a bit of wax out. So if you get into that age where you've got a lot of hair in your ears and nose, go to a Turkish barber's and ask for the wax treatment. I can recommend it.
Everybody keeps complaining that I shout, and I don't shout, but they complain I have the telly up too loud, and they don't. And I'm a bit mutton. I can't hear people on the phone now. So perhaps I need to have
Go to a Turkish barber's and ask for your ears and your nose to be waxed. There you go.
Right.
Anyway, anywho.
Thanks for that. So first up is Stelios Kulchester. Great show last night. Even though it did finish about 11, I was sort of losing the will to live still. Can we start them a bit earlier? You know, you don't need to start at 9 o'clock at night on a Sunday. We've got to get up and go to work.
I watched that this morning.
Yeah, actually. But I like to watch along and take the piss out of him. So
yeah, that is good fun.
You know, prod him now and again. He says he's waiting for the education. Well, you've heard it still. Yeah, so now I've educated you. He says, surely Project Big Picture, or Project Greedy Bastards, as he prefers to call it, is just another example of so-called elite Premier League clubs wanting their cake and eat it. Just to point out, because I didn't get the reply to what you said, Sean, about the package, I fully understand that in a way it could be immoral of the clubs to do that. But the fact is, they're in a situation now, and there's only one way out of it.
There's not.
Well, no, there's not, actually.
Don't spend £1 billion on transfers.
Well there is
right,
that.
There you go.
But what you do is then the fans need to be educated, stop demanding transfers, stop demanding the club spend the money, and the fans need to be educated to actually point the fingers at the players that are taking these wages, and the agents that, when players are put up with transfers, pluck figures out of the air, and don't forget to put my money on the side, people. Because I still don't know that when they pay a transfer fee, do they incorporate the agent's fee that goes in into the transfer fee, or is that separately and hidden in that lovely little phrase in the accounts, like, what's it called, like anomalies or something in the accounts? I don't know.
We'd have to ask an accountant. But my understanding is when the big fees are quoted, it often, the paper fees, the agent fee is included in that. Yeah. In the same way, when wages are included, they always include the 14% NI.
Of course.
Because the club,
if the FA wanted,
not only what the wages are, but the player doesn't get that, but the club spends 14% on top of that, national insurance, as part of any PAYE. So when you hear figures of 100 grand a week, it doesn't mean the player actually gets 100 grand a week. It means it costs the club 100 grand a week. It doesn't, obviously, the club gets taxed and the player gets taxed. The take home is,
yeah, that's the gross, not the net.
Yeah, it's the gross, including the club's contribution to tax, NI.
Well, what I would like to see, the FA mandate clubs to actually put out transfer fees paid and break them down. I want to see exactly what agents are getting. Because let's get this right. The PFA used to do agency work and used to do this, and they never got the £1 million, whatever. They would do it for like a small fee. And what I object to is that if agents want to be paid £1 million, they should invoice the player they're representing.
Of course they should. That's what happens in the theatre industry.
That's what happens.
I'll go one step further. In some leagues,
well,
and I forget
shoot
where
all
it
agents,
is.
To be fair,
I think the wages should be published by the clubs as well on an annual basis, so we know exactly. I forget which leagues where they do have to publish what players earn, and then therefore it's all out in the open. We know where the money goes, and you know, if you're a football player, you know that's part of the deal. You know, if you work for the BBC or you're an MP, your wages are known. There's a plenty of other jobs where wages are published. So why not football players, you know? I don't see a problem with it. There needs to be more transparency.
Yes. Back to Stelios, if we have to.
Oh, yeah.
He then goes on, why would the Premier League want to sign off on the proposal that if and six teams complete control, what happens to the Premier League? Which I agree with. I think you'll find
they don't.
No, this won't ever get passed because at the end of the day,
no. The Premier League came out and made a really strong statement that this is nothing to do with us, and pretty much all the other clubs have come out and said the same.
Well,
let's be honest, the only people who want this are the top six.
Yeah, but what they've missed out is the fact is that to do that rule change, you need 14 of the Premier League clubs to agree to it.
Of course.
Yeah. So what they're saying is
why they were including people like, oh, well, West Ham, let's include West Ham.
They were changing
Everton
the rules as I said to someone, they were effectively asking two turkeys to vote for Christmas in that by reducing it from 20 to 18, two of those clubs that they would have needed support from possibly. Would go straight away.
Yeah, but hang on. No, they would do it in such a way that it would be done at the end of a season where the two clubs would have been relegated anyway.
So if you've got
three clubs being relegated, right, and then one club comes up from the EFL, so the people who actually lose out
you think
are the
that's
two
how
other clubs in the EFL.
You think that's how
they
would?
That's how I'd do it, yeah.
I think you'll
don't
find.
Don't you think so?
No, they'll probably go four down, two up, or they'll go four down, three up for two seasons. Bearing in mind that,
yeah, maybe
you know, I'd long. I'd,
ain't going to happen, as you said.
Yeah,
it's
ain't
going to
happen.
Point because it ain't going to happen. Yeah.
Personally, I'd like to see it go back to 22 teams, and we have a 42 team league. But of course, that ain't going to happen. Anyway, blah 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 blah. Stelios. Hello, Mitty Peeps. Question, Sean. How deep is the rift getting between Sullivan and Moyes?
Oh,
who gets their wage? Barama or King will turn up. So,
I think it's a bit harsh to call it a rift. I think that there's a difference of opinion where the chairman has a view that recruitment needs to be where, like you said earlier, where we buy players that have got resale value. And the manager has a different view on what player he wants to sign. And in between, the supporters are saying, hang on a minute, I thought he said he wanted a Red Bull and get young, hungry people, and then he signs Craig Dawson. So look, I think the board will back the manager, but that doesn't mean that sometimes they can have a disagreement. But let's be honest, the manager makes a final decision on all transfers. And if Benrahma comes to us, right, it will be the manager will sanction it. And I understand while Craig Dawson is a Will Salthouse player, my understanding is the manager wanted Craig Dawson and it was a manager pick. Benrahma, I don't know. I think he prefers King is what I've been told. But hey, I just hear.
Without revealing your source and who told you that he rather have King than Benrahma, the person that told you this, what does that achieve? In your opinion?
Well, but let's just say that source is from the agent world.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
So I'll let you decide that, Len.
Is it an agent of one of the players in question, or...?
It is an agent who is involved in the deal.
Yeah. 20 Silk Cup.
Someone else like to that to list.
Anyway.
Oh, okay.
Next up, we'll move on. It's Andrew Hall. He says, hello, chaps. Brilliant podcast, he says, as always. He says, it clarifies the Doris Day film that we were talking about is Send Me No Flowers with Doris Rock Hudson and Tony Randall. So Brenda was like to tell us that, basically. So Brenda was just telling us that that was the Doris Day film that we were getting confused with last week.
And the one I couldn't think of was Move Over, Darling.
Oh, right.
Funny, isn't it? Well, you're not put on the spot like that.
Very disappointed, says Andrew, by the window. Yet again, we're 2 or 3 inches away from disaster with the paper thin squad. Nothing ever seems to get better at the Stratford Circus, which is quite funny because there is actually a place called Stratford Circus, which is round the corner to the stadium. With Sullivan Goldbrady running it, we need to step the pressure up and get these parasites out of our club. Brady out.
Brady out.
Hello, Brenda.
Hello, Brenda.
Brady out. All right, Brenda Love.
There you go. Have a bit of decorum, Brenda Love.
It's 91 for Christ's
sake. Dear Sean, it's like, you know, behave yourself. You Mockneys, you like to think we all talk like that, but we do have a bit of class, you know. We know how to treat a lady. And that white missus, yeah. Anyway, next up is the Colonel Sanders. Good evening, gents, he says, and Sean. He's interested to know what yous all think the motivation would be for a future owner to take over the club. Good question. He goes on, aside from the obvious, because we're West Ham fans, says, the names he's heard, Saudi Money, US Investors, Red Bull, etc. He's struggling to see what the realistic goal is for such an investor. 10 years ago, perhaps, with the Big Six being big already, what realistically, even with an open checkbook, could be achieved. You up first, Sean. Sean? Sean?
Is he there?
Oh, I think he's gone to the toilet. He needs a little wee-wee.
Why didn't he... he's got his mute button. Yeah, look, you're right there, look.
Yeah.
I suppose you're going to want to ask me, ain't you now?
Naughty me, because I knew he'd gone, and that's why I asked him. And he'll
hear this. For the goose.
Good for the gander. All right, what do you reckon... Then
I only think I understand this question. Yeah. I only think a brand can achieve anything by that.
Would you see that as the ultimate demise, or like me, we're dead as a club anyway to what we were? I don't really care.
I keep saying that, and it gets worse, mate.
Yeah,
I was with the Triggers broom analogy with Upton Park, and I was completely wrong because. You know, it's just not where the legends played, is it?
No.
That's what made it. It wasn't the bricks and mortar.
Yeah.
It was the spirit of our home.
Yeah. For me, it was the same. You know, I never understood naming those stands after players that had never played at that stadium. It means nothing.
No.
I mean, to answer Paul's question, I've never understood that. And the problem for me is that when these clubs take over, I always used to say there were 4 clubs that used to expect or demand Champions League football. Actually, and there would be 2 clubs that hope to achieve Champions League football. I think that's now increased where there's five or six clubs that whose owners near enough demand or expect Champions League football, and one being Leicester that hope they get it. And only four spaces are available. If we were bought by a big foreign investor, how much money would they need? Because if you're looking at it, it's going to cost them $500 million to buy the club, if we put a figure on it. It's going to cost that, again, just to enable us to catch up. So that's a billion. But in that time, the top six are then going to be spending. So what you may find is you may jump in there for one season, at best, maybe two. But then the big clubs, who will be outgunning us even more, will then up their game because they want it to be a cartel. You know, that's why they're coming out with these plans to keep clubs like West Ham down. Financial fair play.
The Premier League is a cartel.
Yeah, it is a cartel.
And I was talking to my missus is doing she's got an event on she does it with, you know, it doesn't matter. She asked me about like investment in football club, and things have changed a little bit. Let's not talk this. Move on. I won't tell you about this. Move on.
You've decided it's confidential.
Well, not a little bit. I'm just trying to think, can I explain it without putting someone in this yet?
Yeah, no.
The fact of the matter is people, rather than sell products now to make business, they look for further investment. So she was asking me about some of these energy drinks that sponsor people that she's never heard of or seen on the shelves. And what that is they start a brand up. And I've worked for people like this, not too straight, make out the brand's massive. But what they're doing is they're not selling the product. They're not selling the energy drink. They don't make any money from the energy drink. They never have. But they want more investment to push. They're saying, we got a lot of money, but we want to be the best energy drink. We want to be the Red Bull. And there is no energy drink. They're just a brand, and they use the brand to get more investment. So that is why the Premier League is a cartel. And what will happen, even if you buy a crummy Premier League club, because other Premier League clubs are being bought and sold as a commodity at a higher price, it pulls up the rest of the Premier League with it, the Premier League clubs with it. Not in our league. I mean, we've got no bricks and mortar to sell. So when they're saying it's half a billion, they think their brand is half a billion because it's part of the Premier League. And you, with a half a million pound brand, you can maybe try and get another quarter of a billion out of someone, which is an in-depth split investment. It's very complicated. And
what you described sounds like someone that's possibly looking to buy Sunderland Football Club, who could be not associated with the owners of West Ham. And
yeah, well, someone,
if you're a Sunderland fan,
that's why
be very wary. Be very wary.
Which energy?
Well, there's us not naming things.
There you go.
And you come
what
and
was me? Yeah. What's the point of me going through all of
dear
that?
Oh dear.
For Big Mouth to come out like that. He's not the only one. He's not the only one. There's a lot of them about people. Be warned. Yeah. There's a couple in our midst, and that's all I say.
Yeah. Anyway.
All right, moving on. Steve Lyons, he says, evening, gents. He's listened to the show with Stelios. He said, brilliant episode, as always. He's put, especially without Sean. Len just
what?
Brings a smile to my face. Keep up
who
the good
that?
Works. This is Steve Lyons. But then Stelios has piped up and said, thank you, mate. You'll get the envelope. So it's probably Stelios.
What do you mean? Wasn't I on last week?
No, he's talking.
No, we're talking about the best ever one. It's just me still.
Oh, right. Got you.
There you go. It's people going through our back catalogue. Ark at us, we're like the Beatles. Paul Nolan, beep, beep, shouter, he says. Evening all. What's happening with this potential signing of Ben Rama? It don't make one bit of sense. I think we've covered that. When does anything at West Ham make sense? He continues. Has anyone seen the new Spitting Image and sketch show featuring Greta Thunberg? I didn't reply to your poll, to be fair. Thanks for sending it to me. It was only about the fifth or sixth person that had sent it to
me. Oh, you're lucky. I'm in double figures.
Yeah.
As you can imagine.
You know.
Have you seen this? Yeah. No fucking shit.
Yeah. The funny thing is I've got BritBox. I'd already watched it. But anyway, so I actually paid for it as well. To be fair, very funny.
And you like it? I'm not quite sure.
Do you know why I find it funny? Because it's true, isn't it? She's a professional. A professional protester. So is our fan base at the moment. So therefore, you would marry the two up, wouldn't you? I mean, it's a dig at the fan base, obviously, by the writers.
I think they're acquiring a lot of their patter on there through social media. I think that's how they're getting their
I don't think it's as good as it was, like. I must admit.
No, it's different times.
It's a bit missing.
I
mean,
the characters ain't as strong as in, well, the politicians ain't as well known.
No.
We don't control when we see it. It was a very Sunday night thing, winding down, a bit of humour. You've got no control over that. So it's a tough gig for them.
Not only that is, it's a very PC world now, so I don't think they could sing. I've never met a nice South African.
Well, they can't say that, but what they're doing is they're standing up against the shit that's on social media or getting that.
Who is?
The Spitting Image.
And are you talking about Greta?
Yeah, and could they wait? Well, are you not listening then?
No, sorry. Someone was giving me some transfer updates.
Oh, you hadn't gone to the toilet like you did a minute ago when I asked you to answer a question you didn't.
Yeah, I did, but I did message you to say
I know I did, and that's why I asked you the question.
What was the question?
You didn't hear it. You was in the toilet. Anyway.
Water closet.
Nolan carries on. But no land, I should say, because he don't like it. He says, talking of amusing stories, and as Nigel would not mention it last week, I forgot, Paul. All right, son, I've got a bit of a sieve brain. Don't dig me out. Dutch Club Emmen, spelled EWM, have a new deal with a sex toy manufacturer and the turnstile entrance, and this is true because I've seen the picture, he did send it to me, is a set of ladies' legs that are inviting. So basically what they've done is they've actually built in front of the turnstile a pair of ladies' legs that you have to walk through the middle of to get into.
I've seen that before, yeah.
Question to you all, do you think GSB are missing a trick by not doing something similar? Or are they in fact sponsoring MM?
Well, of course, they made all their money from property, didn't they, Sean?
Yeah, they did. And it's also not their stadium, so they don't get to choose on that kind of stuff. They did. Len, look, I'm not their apologist in anything else. They made
the same theory of what I've already come out with the energy drink. They get money to that. It was never selling sex toys. They never made the money out of that. They made the money out of buying the shops because no sob would let them out.
Yeah, it's the same principle. It's accidental. They're accidental billionaires.
I don't know if I've told this story. I used to carry out security work for people at David Sullivan's properties. And they used to have the dirty book factory, as we called it, in Barking. In Thames Road, and they'd had a few break-ins. So one night, me and a mate, we were putting up metal bars across doors to stop doors being like fire exit doors being pulled open. We would have doors, metal bars made that drop in place, so they're easily opened in case of fire. So we were in this room, and when we walk in, it's a bit weird because it was just shelves with tape recorders. And we didn't know what it was, so we were working away. And at 5 o'clock, people start to go home. 5:30, all these tape recorders start working. And what they are is answer machines. And we could hear all the orders being placed for the dirty DVDs that are advertised in the sport paper. It was quite funny to listen. We sat down for half hour and we literally wet ourselves. you know, to people picking out these literally. DVDs.
Well,
near enough. Well, not quite like that. You know,
some people pay for that, Nigel.
Yeah. Yes, I know. Some people pay good money for that. Squash for Dosh and all stuff like that. It's quite funny. But then that's when we discovered that all the adverts in the sport newspaper were owned by David Sullivan himself. So, you know, when you say they made their money property, Sean, and David Sullivan's
the
brother,
money.
Actually.
The real serious money. David Sullivan's brother, what?
He ran the enterprise. He ran the factory.
Oh, I'm thinking about Gold's brother, Ralph.
No, you're thinking about Ralph.
Who's David Sullivan?
Ah, this is the thing people don't realise. He's got a brother. I can't remember his name now.
Oh,
short like Sullivan. Looked him, scrawny hobbit looking type. And because they were playing Birmingham one night, and you see he had the umps had to go and pick their mum up and take her up to Birmingham to watch the game.
I have seen it, actually, because he's a director on some of his companies.
Probably, yeah.
Well,
he ran the show at Barking. We used to do this. It was funny going into the warehouse. Some of the things we see, some of the things we played with, which one bloke pointed out, I wouldn't play with them. They're the returns. Life. We went and washed our hands, I'll tell you. Oh, dear. Oh, dear. Oh, next up, it's our good friend, my good friend, Mike Willever Jr. Mike, I want to apologise. I keep meaning to text you to see how you are. I hope you're settling in. So I'll try and get in touch with you, see if you're about. Evening, gents, said it's probably been addressed before, but is Ben Rama a Moyes target or a Sully special? I think we understand now that it's a Sully special. He can't see him fitting in with Moyes' style of play. He's heard a rumour that Dawson was dropped off to the club. Any truth? Well, now you know he's been signed, mate. And he says, thanks for the pod. That's the soul singing superstar Michael Levy Jr. people. Next up is
Thanks
Dodgy.
For listening, Michael Levy Jr.
Is what?
Thanks for listening.
Yes, sorry. Next up is Dodgy. I'm rushing through him because obviously someone's got to go out.
He likes a bit of squirrel. No, not Dodgy.
No, it's not Dodgy. Well, Dodgy might like a bit of squirrel, but what it is that only if someone else has run it over, because the rules of the countryside is if you run the animal over, you can't pick it up and eat it. But if you're a bit hungry, you send your mate in the car in front, let him run the animal over, and then you can come behind and pick it up. Did you know that?
I did, actually.
Yeah. Sean, you must have known that, living out in...
So, no, I didn't know that.
So if you run a deer over, yeah, you're not... And kill
oh,
it,
I do know that.
You're not allowed to pick it up.
In Richmond Park, yes, I do know
but
that.
But the bloke behind you, he can put it up and have venison for dinner.
But that's only with royal deer and stuff. I don't think it counts with squirrels and stuff.
I think any game, so you see like a pheasant or whatever.
I'm not sure. I think it only counts for when the animals are private in a royal park. I think it's an urban myth. You're slightly wrong.
Well, it ain't urban, is it? Because it's in the countryside. We don't have deer running around the urban, mate.
I'm going to check that out.
You check that out, son. Anyway, it's Dodgy goes...
Clive.
Oh, Clive?
Clive. Yeah.
Clive what?
Clive Sullivan.
Oh, right.
Oh.
Thank you. Dear.
Sorry, I've been searching. I was looking at David Sullivan's and directorships on his myriad of different companies and trying to find his brother. Clive Sullivan... Born October 1946 is his brother, by the way.
All right, there you go. October when? 96?
46.
46. All right, thank you. All right, my handsome, how you doing? Says Dodgy. He says, with the podcast only lasting an hour and a half last week, is that why Nigel felt the need to go on another podcast straight after for a further 3 hours to get his fix? Nigel, you really are the pimper podcast. Yes, that was true. But
whose podcast did you go on to?
You were on
it. It was Transfer Deadline Day. We went on with Stills. We did the...
Of course, I forget.
You forget, innit?
I don't know if that's a podcast. You see, I get confused. For me, that's a YouTube stream. It's not a podcast.
People call it a podcast or whatever. We bring,
really?
You know, they get better ratings when we're on it, Sean. Don't knock it, son.
Okay.
To be fair, though, you didn't know I was coming on, Sean, did you?
No, I didn't.
Thought you were special, didn't you, Sean?
Oh, dear.
No, I know I'm not special.
No, you're not.
I certainly don't get put on a pedestal by anyone.
No, there you go.
And you get shot down.
Yeah, yeah, you're disliked. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Even though, by the way, guys, I'm still off Twitter, mostly.
Well done, you.
Yeah, you said that. You've done very well.
That weekend when you was off, when you first went off, it was heaven. Then it all went downhill. Anyway, I won't go there, will I? Apparently. Sean, trust you better after your illness, he says. Yeah, who cares?
No, I'm fine. I tested negative, by the way. Thank you for asking. I had a COVID test on Monday. I tested negative on Wednesday night. And I'm off the antibiotics, etc. And I'm fully fit again. Thank you for asking.
We didn't. He does follow on to say, where I will never recover from the loss of Cineworld. Let it go. Let it go. Oh, no, he can't watch that film, can he? Questions follows. Why do we sell a creative player for 20 mil and buy another for 30 mil? This is Sullivan all over it.
No, two different players, though.
All right, okay, there you go.
Two different players.
Sean with the obvious answer. Have we got any view on Anderson? Because he says he wants to come back.
Well, no. I mean, look, we all hope Anderson does well at Porto. It's a bit of a strange one. I mean, they signed Tony Martinez, as you know, on a free transfer. I was told they were skint and they were struggling to pay players' wages. So it really surprised me that we do such a deal with million euro loan fee and in paying the whole 125 grand a week wages. Let's hope they don't knock us on it, is all I'll say. But I hope he does well. I really do. I think he's being announced on Wednesday, isn't he?
Who? Dodsey?
Anderson.
Oh, right.
Yeah, I think he's on
on Wednesday.
I thought it's been announced.
Well, not announced, but you know, it obviously has been announced.
Makes his debut.
Sorry.
Yeah, there he goes.
Makes his debut.
Dodsey asked me to explain why I think £15 is good value to watch a Premier League game. I think I've explained that. I'm not sure I've used the word good value, but I've explained why I fully understand. There's a difference between understanding and...
Can I just do an analogy for Dodsey?
Yeah, go on. Right?
I know he used to pay his money to Cineworld before they went bust, but I used to go to the Odeon or in those nice reclining chairs or something called Everyman in Esher in Surrey.
Mate.
What?
It's not come out of the closet day. I think that was the weekend.
No, Everyman is a set of boutique cinemas.
Oh.
Do you know what the cost of a luxury cinema ticket is?
No.
£15.
All right.
So, you know, I have no problem in going out on date night and going to a boutique cinema and paying £15 a ticket. It's entertainment, isn't it? You wouldn't have a problem paying £15 for a meal if you went out at night, would you? So what is the problem? What is this psychological problem with £14.95?
Because you've got to pay that meal as well as the football, Sean. You need to eat to live.
I mean, no one's brought up the boxing pay-per-view and the fact that they're charging far in excess for what they're doing. And boxing's really sold itself out to pay-per-view now, in my opinion.
Anyway, we probably need to move on because, as you say, unfortunately, I do need to pick up my daughter this evening.
I have explained it, Dodsey. And he says, Brady out. Siggy Stardust says, evening, gents. David Jones. He said he's not watched the internationals, but seen good reports on Rice's performance. Glad we seem to have been able to keep him for the time being. I did enjoy the fact that people were saying credit to the owners, apparently, for keeping him. I heard someone on TalkSport say that, Barry. And
No one bid, though.
So I don't know what credit you get for that. But still, there you go, if that's what you think. Is Hong Kong Fui really a number one super guy? Or should all credit go to Spot the Cat?
Well, we know where the credit goes.
Yeah, there you go.
Just noticed there's 31 comments in there.
No, running through them. Tell your daughter just wait. I thought she was learning to drive. Yeah, can't she drive herself? Bloody hell.
She is, but she can't drive. She's in Guildford tonight, and she's been at college all day, and I've sort of left her there at my boyfriend's. But don't worry.
Boyfriend, a keep her company. I wouldn't worry about it. So.
Yeah, don't worry about that.
If you really...
I've just drawn Bobby Moore in my left hand, in case you're interested. Not very good, but you know.
You got a what?
I've just drawn Bobby Moore in my left hand.
All right.
Send on a post-it note. I just thought, I don't know why I'll do
the
all the
right
time.
Hand busy then?
I'm not very well in the head. I just thought I'd try. Oh. In case I lose my hand some way.
Oh, dear. If you were owners of West Ham, would you have moved to the London Stadium, says Martin Rowe? And it's 66,000 capacity with cheap rent, providing the cheapest tickets in London. Or stayed at Upton Park, try to increase the capacity. So basically, if you stayed at Upton Park, would you have tried to increase the capacity to, or what would you have tried to increase the capacity to? Sean, we know the answer. You wouldn't have stayed there. You'd have sold the stand.
Well, do you know what? No, well, it's been proved wrong. Obviously, the
Mr. Cheerleader
moved out, etc. So, look, we know that there were plans to go to 40,000. I would have actually knocked it all down and built a 60,000.
All of it?
Knocked it all down?
Knocked it all down and built it again.
Upton Park or...?
Yeah, Upton Park. Bowling ground, as
well,
I call it.
Well, where would you have been able to do that?
Well, I would just start again, a bit like Spurs did. I'd knock half of it down and move it and start building the car
Wembley?
Park. No, you'd carry
on.
I
would have
like
rented the London Stadium.
Yeah, exactly. Played at Charlton or something.
We'd have rented the Athletic Stadium on our doorstep. you're bonkers, Sean. At the end of the day, the first nail in the coffin was the relegation of 2003, because that scuppered the chicken run being rebuilt. Because if we hadn't have gone down in 2003, they would have progressed with the chicken run being rebuilt. Relegation scuppered that, the loss of money, loss of players, and then we came back up and the sale of the club to the Icelandics, and then the Olympics on the horizon. You know, I still maintain the day, I just wish Paris had got one more vote than us, and then we wouldn't have this to worry about. So I would have took it. Oh, you can
talking of that, we didn't mention it, but obviously, I think it's hilarious. I don't think we mentioned last week, but the owners of the London Stadium are suing Allen and Overy.
Can I just stop you there? Yeah.
Go on.
We'll get to that.
All right, fine.
Yeah. No, I have quickly skipped the questions and noticed that.
Yeah, fine.
So, hello, it's Dazzler here. He said, for once I'm not at work on a Monday, so can you post this observation? For you, mate, anything. We'll even give you a round of applause. Was Antonio's goal against Leicester the longest 1-2 in football? Can you two stop texting each other, please?
That's my left hand.
I know it was. Very good for your left hand, to be fair. I was impressed.
You've got a beer in me, right?
So, Antonio's goal against Leicester, the longest 1-2 in football. So, obviously, Antonio laid it off, didn't he? And then took it back.
Actually, no. We signed a player whose first touch was a massive 1-2. The commentary went through my head, but I forgot what player it was. Was it Payet? Well, no, it was a youngster to come on. And he got the ball come over. Someone will say, remind us who it is. We're shit at doing a podcast, aren't we? Let's be honest.
At times.
Three blokes that can't remember fucking a thing. Here's me drawing my left hand. Sean goes to the Kazi. Fucking hell, no wonder we've only got 8 listeners. Every week someone says, oh, you're great on the podcast. I'm fucking dreadful. Jesus Christ.
You know what
anyway,
they say,
carry on.
No, self-praise is no price. So let the other
exactly,
thing.
Yeah.
Anyway, skipping on. So Darren says, Project Big Picture surely won't go. Here's a question, yeah? Dean Garner or Ben Rama, who would have been better?
Well, we don't know.
Wouldn't it be funny if we end up with neither? Well, we've definitely not got one of them.
We'll be definitely getting
yeah. Oh, yeah. Here you go.
Yeah, yeah. More than likely.
I mean, who was better last season in the championship? Ben Rama or Dean Garner?
Well, Dean Garner went up. It's hard to say, isn't
it? I mean, I didn't watch enough, if I'm honest with you. But I heard, apart from the last bit where they missed out on the, you know, in the playoffs, that Ben Rama was in amazing form, you know, and we all thought Brentford were going to go up, and maybe
they were, and they choked in
West,
the final.
West, yeah, exactly, and yeah. West Brom almost didn't go up, didn't they? They nearly missed it up at the end. So again, I'm told they're two different players. One is a traditional left winger, and the other one is a slightly different. I don't know enough about football to actually speak with confidence about how they're different. But someone did explain to me, who knows a lot more than me, that they're completely different players. Even though they play in the same position.
Okay. Thanks for that, Daz. Warren James Greenfield says, he or three names, well, four, maybe, Greenfield. I don't know if that's two names, but anyway. Warren, or Bunny, to his friends, says, after asking the other week about refunds going into the club cash instead of back on paying card, he's glad the club got this right, and we didn't cover this, and the 10% is a nice bonus. Yeah, I'm getting a bit bothered about this, Sean, to be fair.
Oh, are you?
Yeah, because the club
tell me why.
Keep doing things right.
Oh, dearie me.
You know, Sullivan's buying the food bank, a van, the club.
They'll let you down. It won't last.
Club,
don't worry about that.
Not only go to club cash, which to be fair, I think I said I'd have been happy with. I didn't need the money back on the card. But to then give us 10%, you know, when it was broached to me by a source close to the club that West Ham were going to be doing this and that they may give us interest, I think I said to that source close to the club, yeah, but if they give us less than 7%, you know, it ain't going to look good because people are going to be pointing out that the owners will be taking more interest than they give to the fans. So when source close to the club then said, well, it turns out it's 10%, what was my reaction, Sean?
You went, bloody hell.
Yeah, I think I did.
That's a good deal.
Yeah. You know, you can't...
Same interest they give media rights and funding.
Yeah. So, therefore, for me, I find it a bit, you know, off page, isn't it? Because I'm supposed to be ranting and raving at them. And yet here I am saying, well done. And people think I'm going soft, mellowed.
Yeah, you see why I can't.
Yeah, but the thing is, what it is that in the past, I'm a fair person. If people do things right, I say, you've done that right. If you've done it wrong, I say, you've done that wrong. The problem is in the past is I've done nothing right. So there was nothing.
Cockney way, yeah?
There was what? Well, yeah.
Cockney way, is it?
Well, it is. Well, I don't know about the Cockney way. I think it's the right way to be. You know, don't dig yourself an hole and just sit in it for no reason.
Anyway, anywho.
Brady out. Chris Butcher.
Brady out.
Evening all. He says, he's curious as to where you'll think we should strengthen. He's concerned if Souček or Rice pick up another injury. Who comes in? Did Sean get any feedback from his Brady out stance?
Yeah. You know what?
Answer that question, Sean. Have you got any feedback from your Brady out stance?
No.
No?
None at all.
Really?
Which is, yeah.
I thought you got some feedback, which was, oh, really? I didn't know.
Yeah. It'd have passed them by, I think.
Certain director of the club hadn't even noticed.
Yeah. So, oh, really? Oh, are you? So there you go. My campaign obviously wasn't high profile enough.
Yeah. Obviously, the club's boycott of more than just a podcast is still holding firm.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
They're not the club are not one of our eight listeners, obviously.
No, they haven't. Well, they probably don't listen to anything.
Or the director I spoke to, obviously, is not one of our eight listeners.
Too high profile. Well, then again, we don't talk about Coventry, Sean. So why would they listen?
Ooh.
Anyway, evening, gents. Said Nicholas Harvey.
That comment will get back to us.
He loves a bit of squirrel.
Nick Harvey. Questions first. He says, so you answer him. He's gone for Project Big Picture or Project Greed. He's been reading Stell. Can anyone think of anything positive about it? As I can't. Not at all.
No.
I can't. Even the fact is that the part of it that really smacks for me is the EFL, they're expecting the EFL to kick two clubs out. They want to reduce from 92 clubs to 90. Not only two clubs out of the Premier League, to kick two clubs down, they want two clubs to go as well. That's not on, is it? Arrogance of the highest order. I'm not having a pop at Americans, but the fact that both clubs are owned by Americans possibly shows danger if we went down the American route. Just putting it out there. He said he's got one for Sean. Well, we've done this. Dawson and Bunrama, Moyes or Sullivan signings. We've discussed that. Sullivan's. He can't see the point in buying.
No. Dawson is a Moyes pig. I think
Dawson is Moyes. There you go. That about sums it up, doesn't it? Really, he can't see the point in buying Bunrama when he had Dean Garner at AO. Someone thought it was a good idea. Would King be better? Bet since we had 7-8. I think I've said why he isn't really. And as well as not being able to pronounce player names, I noticed Shell couldn't spell his name on Claret. Sean, sorry, couldn't spell his name on Claret and Spew earlier today.
No, that is true. And I'll tell you the reason is...
Because you're thick and you can't bleed and spell properly, Sean.
No. WordPress has got this really cool idea where it's sort of predictive text. Because we've typed in the word Valon Barami so many times, it keeps on changing Barama to Barami. And I did miss it earlier. The headline was right. It was Barama.
Bunrama.
Barami. Bunrama. But Barami was put in the was in the text, but someone pointed it out, and I was happy to correct it.
So, well,
no, everybody knew I was talking about.
I don't point it out anymore. Not that I gave up pointing it out here, but it tells another story. Craig Dawson is underwhelming. He says still onwards and upwards. He still thinks we can give Spurs a run for the money. Most importantly, Nicholas Brady out. Old Happy Chops himself, the Maid Marian's back. He's probably a bit depressed because the Welsh are probably going to be locked down even more. Benny does it again. I think that's you, Sean, by engaging mouth before brain. I cannot believe Benny raised the subject of Dosti's Cineworld pass last week. Does he not know how this has affected the man from Zamazet? He's only just got over Blockbuster Video closing and has still got his video plugged in. He said it's got worse.
Who said this?
This is the maid.
Maid Mary.
Yeah. He said it's got worse, he said, because when he came back with New Zealand, the only two videos he had were Gone with the Wind and the box set of Love Thy Neighbour, which are no longer pretty correct to watch.
I watched them the other day. They were great.
Only the ones that were on show. I'm sure he had a few videos from David Sullivan's warehouse as well.
I'll tell you what I noticed. Under the bed. That they were selling it Ain't Half Hot Mum in HMV.
Oh, really?
What, a DVD box set?
Tempted to buy it, mate.
Who buys DVDs? Who gets box sets anymore? I don't think I've played anything on a DVD, Blu-ray, whatever they're called, player in years.
Oh, right. Well, I do.
Who does that?
I still watch videos.
DVD, Sean.
Do you?
Yeah.
Videos?
Yeah. West Ham videos.
But you still got a Betamax or something. No, it's all digital, mate.
We would.
I only stream stuff. It doesn't stream. I don't watch it.
Oh
dear. I don't have an aerial either. I don't do aerials. I stream on the internet.
Do you stream
it? I watch it.
Are your whites whiter? Or do you go, Dad?
I don't know. I don't watch adverts. Well, probably in online, but I don't watch adverts. So I don't know what you're talking about.
Oh, right.
I don't watch TV. So it's streaming.
It was Daz that made your whites white. I went in or bald?
Yes, I think I did cover
again,
that.
This sounds like probably a TV ad campaign that's just gone out completely over my head.
So you never bought washing powder?
Washing powder? People buy these little capsules now that has everything in them. Who buys washing powder, for Christ's sake? That's like the 80s. Who buys washing powder?
That's us, the working class, then. Sorry.
You do not. Look, there's no way you do washing in the first place. And I bet you if I ask Sam, your wife,
yeah,
she would go, no, of course we don't use washing powder.
Do you know what she
No one uses
mate,
washing
we,
powder.
We use washing powder. We buy the big boxes, yeah. It's better when they...
No, I don't believe
listen,
you.
The delights of the first thing we bemoaned about when we moved out of East London was that I never got the knock on the door anymore.
I bet you used one of those...
Nige, come and have a look in the van, see if you want anything. They don't come round no more. With someone cheaper than Danny Baker, mate.
I bet you use one of those old enamelled wash things with a board that you scrub it against, and then use a wrangle to like instead of a tumble dryer to before
you mean a washboard and a mangle rather than a wrangle.
Yeah,
yeah, whatever. Right. I don't know what the things you poor people use in the 60s and 70s.
Well, no, we washing machine. Listen. I point out, Sean, I come from an upper working class family. We were market traders. My granddad was the first man to have a television down his road, I'll have you know. Yeah? He allowed the neighbours to watch the Queen's coronation on it. I mean, granted, they had to stand outside and look through the window, but hey, you know.
Anyway, we digress. It's not a washing podcast.
Dave Sperry.
I'm really late now.
Says, why does the board sell a wing at a 20 and bring in another one at 40?
Discuss this.
Is it just incompetency? Well, the thing Dave, don't make it up, mate. It's not 40, is it? It's 30. And it's 25 plus 5 add-ons. So, you know, but it is a bit one of them.
It confuses me.
Yeah. Mark Bright. Obviously, the Crystal Palace player taking a break from BBC, whatever, or doing whatever he does at Palace, sitting in the box. Evening chaps, he's got a question about the coaching setup. What do the coaches bring to the table? He says he notices that Noland seems to be in charge of subs and tactics during games. What does Stuart Pearce do? Brady out.
He talks to the manager at home, doesn't he?
He's on the phone, isn't he?
Yeah.
He's on the phone. I'm on the phone.
He obviously got a better grasp of Scottish than obviously Nolan, isn't he?
True story, bro. True story. Stuart Pearce managed Craig Dawson.
Not in the Forest.
For the Great Britain team.
Yes.
Yeah. True story, bro.
Oh, good. Ed Hughes. Len?
Yes, mate.
Ed Hughes.
Loves a bit of squirrel.
Does. Evening.
Loves it. It's Ed Hughes who loves a squirrel.
He does. He loves a bit of squirrel. So the Beeb says we're against the Premier League power grab. Are we really? I thought us being part of a cartel was right up the GNS stream.
No, because we get less money because we won't get into Europe. So unless you can get into Europe, it really doesn't make any financial sense for us.
All right, Belinda Kaikitis, hello, Medi Bibs, she says. Transfer update, we've done that. Will Anderson come back? He may come back, but I doubt if he'll ever play, but not while Moyes is manager.
You know what? He only has a year left on his contract when he does come back, so only 12 months.
So we're not going to get any money back for him? Really?
It seems not, really. It seems
not. She then says, I thought he was very good on Talk Sport.
We went fucking good down the left-hand side.
No. And lastly, she says, who's Fido Dido?
Do you She's disproving my bleeding theory now, isn't she?
How did she know you've mentioned Fido Dido, or did you put that in the post?
I put it in the post, you idiot. All did right. you not
Why
listen?
Why are you talking about my haircut in the post?
Sean, did you not listen to what I put in the post? I put...
No, I didn't.
All right, well, just to clarify, I put no booties, just a whetstone, CTL myself, laughing at Sean's new haircut that makes him look like Fido Dido.
All right, okay. Yeah, fine. Okay,
there you Move go. On. Moving on. Blah, blah, blah,
we'll
blah.
Get to Guildford.
Gary Prince, your mate, Sean. He says, what do you think of the option to have your season ticket put aside as club cash and 10%? Do you think the constant offer changes are reflective of cash flow problems? I don't think they're reflective. I think that is the problem, cash flow. But then again, of course they're going to have a cash flow problem. They were losing 30-odd million before all this. They lost another 15, let's say.
But you know what?
What?
It is I know people go, oh, it's not, no other clubs moan. But I tell you what they are. Arsenal are absolutely cost-cutting, and this is what there's been uproar. Other clubs have to cut their cloth. We, funny enough, affordable football are not as hard hit as people like Spurs and Man United, who earn tens more millions in ticket and corporate revenue than we do. So it's a double-edged sword. You know, it is costing tens and tens of millions to the big six as well. Yet they carry on spending like, you know, like nothing's happened. Something must give at the end. They must be borrowing the money, or there's going to have to be sacrifices somewhere along the line. It will catch up with them at some point. Mark my words.
Mark them.
Yeah. So I was just watching Yoko Ono, and she brought out a song called Bad Dance. Mate, this looks bad. Dear, oh dear.
Is that a question from Yoko Ono?
No, I was just watching. I've got the Lennon 80 channel on.
I'm giving you six more minutes before I have to pick up my daughter.
I'm going, Ian Wiley says, can I put a poster shot up of Fido Dido's new haircut?
I'm drawing it.
It's not really the same unless we get to witness it. Listen, E, I'll tell you what I do. Wait till he goes to pick his daughter up. I'll put it up. It's all right. Alan Woodhouse. Where's that dog? Sit. It's Barbara's son. Evening, fellas. He says, I hope Sean's feeling a weight lifted after coming off Twitter. I know it can be a toxic place, he says.
Yeah,
he enjoyed the podcast about the West Ham finances recently, and it confirmed that the owners have invested badly rather than under-investing, which is what we aim to set out to prove. So well done for taking that in.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Do you think, as an owner of any football club, you have an obligation to invest your own money, or would you rather see the club being self-sufficient?
I'd say it'd be self-sufficient, but...
Well, I think the goal is always to be self-sustainable, isn't it?
Yeah, that's how I think.
Burnley, do you know what? Burnley are really well-run football clubs, and actually in some ways so are Wolves, but let's use Burnley as the gold standard. Burnley spent £1 million in the transfer window. And if you look at the Burnley model... They haven't put in money for years and years and years and years. It is the tip, the gold standard of a sustainable football club that doesn't require outside investment. Now, it hasn't caught up with them yet, and hopefully it doesn't, you know, it doesn't catch them up with this season. But I think Sean Dyche and the board there do an excellent job of showing that is the model to, if you've got no sugar daddy to invest, that is a model you want to be. You're never going to achieve anything, but I think Burnley are admired by some.
I like would you disagree?
No, I've always said that I think clubs should be self-sufficient.
Oh
yeah.
Next up then. Thanks for that question, Babs. Ian Gravett says, evening gents, hope you're all right, Ian. How would you implement a scouting network? Obviously, you can't keep relying on agents to do our bidding. Southampton, Leicester have at least 30, always keeping an eye out for new talent. I mean, I think that's a show all on its own, how you improve off the field. Ian, to be fair. Obviously, it needs sorting out, but what you need is you need a manager that's got the long-term contract to be able to put in the scouting in the first place. John Hunt, evening, lads. Things have been so bad, let's keep it light. What's the funniest thing you've seen over the Hammers? All the best.
Funniest thing?
Yeah. Mm.
Hammerhead losing a race.
Yeah.
Pathetic, wasn't it? Was that the West Brom game?
Or the cat that ran across the pitch and got more coverage than the football game. Do you remember the cat?
Yes. Yeah. I can't really think of funny things.
Sullivan. It's not me.
That's me.
Come on, 3 minutes. 3 minutes. Yeah, well,
you keep talking. Daniel McLennan says, great listening, boys. Even Sean, no question. He said, just the Brady out. Leo Gollard says, hello, fellas. On the back of two wins, more or less carried on from our post-lockdown form, it would seem the team are on the up and ready to give it to any team. Quickly, he says, where do you think West Ham will finish? Quickly.
Top 10. Top 10th. Where are we now? 10th.
10th. All right. Len?
11th.
Yeah, I'll go with that. Adam Levitt says, great show as always. He then says, it was Adam that says, what's this about the London Stadium owner suing the law firm? Go, Sean.
We haven't got a lot of time, but basically, Allen and Overy, which are one of the Magic Circle in law firms, created this 54-page document, which was given to all bidders. And you know, the London Stadium or LLDC created it, and now they're suing them. Now, LLDC have lost pretty much every legal. They sued Delaware North, they lost. Vinci, they lost. They've sued us. They lost every single case. And now they're going to sue one of the largest prestigious law firms in the country. Guess what? They're going to lose. It's going to cost millions of pounds and it's going to go on for 5 years, but they're going to lose. There you go.
Does it not show, though, that actually that how bad the deal was that they struck on behalf of the taxpayers?
No. What they're claiming is it was a good deal for West Ham.
I'm saying that
what they're claiming is they were badly advised. But come on, some of this has got nothing to do with lawyers. They got their business case wrong. You know, the cost of stewarding 250 grand a year compared to the millions it cost, that was nothing to do with legal advisors, nothing to do with a contract. That was the business case being wrong because the public sector didn't understand football. There are some things that are just naivety and lack of understanding in public sector. The legal bits, you know, there may be a point of the legal definition of a football capacity and some of the finer legal points on definitions within the contract, but really it's small beer by comparison of what went on. And you know, who knew
it was pushed through by Boris Johnson.
Well, this is another reason why I say it won't. People go, oh, yeah, you know, the takeovers are going to involve the sale of a stadium.
No, I don't think
it will. Boris Johnson is still a politician, this will not be sold.
No.
Right, moving on.
Adam carries on with Brady outs. Last up, Dave Trevitt says, even Nigel, Sean and Len, get this in early. Were you the last one, mate? Sorry. As you didn't read it out last week, he says, Brady out. He said, who gives a fuck about internationals? He says, I haven't for many years. Question for Basin Boy. I think that's you. He's not Basin Boy anymore, though. Not after today, anyway. Any truth in Sully injecting 30 million to pay for players, knowing he will make a tidy profit from the loan?
No
truth. Wasn't a loan, Dave. It was 30 million. Didn't come from Sullivan, came from all the owners. It was a share issue.
It was a rights issue. Yeah.
It was
and it's in the public domain. Go to WH Holding on Companies House. You'll see it's a rights issue. They gave 30 million pounds to buy shares they already owned. And it's ridiculous. The same way as a secret agent saying that David Gold paid for Soufal personally even though he just sold his FA Cup for £1 million and took another £1 million, one of his companies from the club last year. No, not true.
He says he wouldn't be happy if Fornals was dropped for any new signing, seeing as we're seeing the real player. What are your thoughts on that, Lynn? What I just said.
I was sending Belinda a photo of Fido, a drawing of Fido Dada that I'd done in 60 seconds.
All right, there you go. So Dave Chevitt was just saying he wouldn't be happy if Fornals was dropped for any new signing. As we're seeing the real player that he is.
Yeah, me too.
There you go.
This is a problem.
Anyway.
And he says, finally, Nigel, where was you last night? He says, Stell's okay, but better when you're there. The keeper's on his toes. Well, it is Stell's show. You know, I can't.
Didn't get an invite.
I can't, yeah. No.
Didn't you? You didn't get an invite.
Listen, Sunday nights, I like to sit back, rock up and take the piss out of him.
Yeah, excellent.
Brady out.
Anyway, I do have to go and pick my daughter up for from Guildford, which if you watch Hitchhiker's Guide to Galaxy of is of that fame. Who came from Guildford, do you know?
Arthur.
Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy.
Full prefect.
Oh, was it?
Oh. Yeah, I'm pretty sure. Someone will correct me. Anyway, I've been Sean. Len has been...
drawing.
And Nigel has been...
in his living room, not really in his shed, because it was a bit raining out there.
Brady out!
Brady out!
Bobby Moore.
On your irons.
More than just a podcast.
Back next
Bobby
week.
Moore, more than just a podcast.
Short podcast, maybe.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.